Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670. The
Russ Dorsey joining us on the show. Russ, how are you?
Come on, guys. I'm doing well. How are you?
According to your Instagram story, you're running in LA. We may or may not have discussed the question on 5 on it being, did Russ post another thirst trap?
Can we define a thirst trap? Because I feel like in today's day and age,
oh my goodness,
we just label anything.
Can
a
you
thirst
tweet
trap.
Out that picture?
I don't think I should.
You know what's not fair about this whole thing? Can a guy not get a workout in beautiful and also hot LA?
I thought this was America. Huh? Isn't this America?
At some point, this Russ thirst trap narrative is going to have to cease.
You could do all those things without being shirtless. I think that's what Layla's point was. She wanted to know if you doused yourself in Saratoga water before or after the fact.
It was very Saratoga water morning routine.
I do not use performance-enhancing drugs. This is all natural.
Let me start by telling you this. I have never used steroids.
It is not against the law to run with no shirt on. To be honest, more people should do it.
I don't know if I agree with that stand.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios inside today because the rain is annoying. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano. We also have Brandon Fryer helping us out. Our video crew is Jenna Duddleston, Connor O'Donnell, and Matt Anaya. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And guess what, friends? We have more tickets to give to you. Keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs against Pittsburgh at Wrigley on Sunday, June 15th. That is Father's Day. It is all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. So, not only are you looking forward to that series next weekend, but the Cubs, yet again, doing what they're supposed to be doing, winning first games of series, which is also nice. We'll talk about that at 10:45. But first up, it is the Bears, and what I feel like was not necessarily Ben Johnson telling everybody to curb their enthusiasm, for a lack of a better term.
No, enthusiasm is encouraged always.
Yes, and frankly, should be, I think, the feeling at this time, you know, depending on how you think about the Bears. I also think, though, that you and I have both said this. The install was not going to be quick, and mandatory minicamp in some ways felt like a mandatory reality check yesterday as well from the head coach. Now, is that him making excuses like when Matt Nagy said it takes 4 years to learn his offense? No. I don't think that's the case here. I think that's a head coach evaluating his team based on the Chris Emma standard, there's so much coaching going on.
Coaching is good. Adaptability is good. Assimilation also good. All these things need to happen at Hallis Hall in order for this team to do what Ben Johnson termed a turnaround that could be in his first year, depending on how hard they're willing to work. And I believe I'm quoting him correctly when I say how hard, how much they're willing to sacrifice. Those were the things that Ben Johnson brought to the forefront. And now that we've gotten into the, let's call it the nitty gritty of actually getting things done
right
on the practice field, what we're finding is it takes a little, it's going to take a minute. It's going to be several minutes, several weeks, several months before things get to where Ben Johnson needs them to get to, because it's not just about them learning him. He has to learn his personnel and what they're capable of doing and what they're not capable of doing.
I think also this is something that we need to keep an eye on or keep an ear to, whichever you prefer. Both, I guess, because the more information that Ben Johnson has, how much is his enthusiasm going to wane? Or how is he going to change his outlook? And if it's not very much and it's kind of expected based on the knowledge he gets and knowing that the NFL season is a grind even now, you know, they get some time off because this is the last of the off-season program before training camp. And they get to have a good, I don't know, the coaches get any real time off, but at least the players do, and people get to recharge a little. But the more information he has, how is it going to change how he talks to everybody and what words he uses with us? I think that's something that I will definitely pay attention to, because it lets you know how much more he understands about his team.
Yeah, I think the way he talked about his team even yesterday and kind of let you know about how long of a process was going to be. The thing that I really picked up on, Layla, was how he talked about the offensive line, because I know we're looking at, oh, they went and got a center. Oh, they went and got two guards. Oh, they went and got a tackle. Everything looks good. Okay, if left tackle's the only thing they have to figure out, we're in good shape with this. But after hearing him yesterday and him describing how long it might take for that unit to emerge and kind of coalesce as a group, it's a little bit concerning.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. Hard to jump to any conclusions just yet, especially at that position where you really can't be judged until you got pads on. And so both guys are taking turns and they're making the most of their opportunities. I think the head's still spinning for almost everybody on offense, but certainly in the O-line room. We got a lot of new things we're throwing at them. Coach Roshar and Coach Devan and Coach Cable, they're doing fantastic jobs, coached them up, and they're on them constantly throughout practice. So the cool thing to see is Ozzie, for a guy that's a young player, he's really polished in terms of the mental aspect of the game. We're looking to key up some things, quicken up his steps, his identification process, and Karan's done a nice job just for the little bit that we had him as well, just the growth prospect. So far, so good. We feel good about the rest of them gelling together, and that's really what it comes down to, is they have to spend time as a unit over and over and over again. And game one, we're going to be far from a finished product, and hopefully by the time we get through the bye week, we'll start seeing some of these guys come together and really gel as a unit. I think as a whole, because it's a new offense and it's a lot of new, it doesn't matter if you're Joe Tooney and you've been playing for 10-plus years or you're one of these young people that we're talking about, we have to coach them all the same right now. So it's not like we can just concentrate on one spot and that battle. It's really the whole unit and the depth behind it as well. We've talked about, I think, consistently through the springtime, 8, 9, even 10 linemen are going to be called upon at some point this year.
So two things here. When he talks about Joe Tooney being a 10-year vet, and yet it's still coaching him the same way they would a Kieran Amagaji or even an Ozzie Trapillo, that gave me pause. But the real issue here is like, oh, you know, maybe by the time we get out of the bye week. Do you know when the bye week is, Layla?
Bye week is the second Sunday in October?
That sounds right.
It's either the first or the second Sunday in October.
It's the first Sunday in October, but it's week five. Sunday. There are four games before we hit the bye week. They are Minnesota at home, at Detroit, Dallas at home, at Las Vegas. You're basically telling me that you're not going to be a fully operating unit until at least at least the bye week is what he's saying.
And I think it's a good time to remember. It was a week ago today when we were at Brick House with Mark Rohde and Ian Happ, and we asked that question. What is going to be your level of patience? And we know we're going to revisit it. The fact that it's only been twice in 2 weeks is kind of incredible, or you know.
The callback will be strong.
Yeah, exactly. So I said 2022 Lions went 1-6. Give me 7 games by pretty much only that metric. Which is hilarious because that also says a lot about what you feel the talent is going to be. Here's my other question, though, is when I hear Ben Johnson, I'm also asking if he thought that this was going to be quick and not, like, if he tried to oversimplify it, wouldn't that also be a bit of a red flag? Aren't you asking to yourself, like, oh, it's this simple. You just do X, Y, Z. It's like, no, it's not that simple. So I appreciate that he didn't try to, I think, minimize the struggle of what it's going to take to not only have cultural change, but best practice change when it comes to the entirety of the process.
Yeah, I think the way I heard it, like what you said, is absolutely spot on, right? Because it isn't simple. It is complex. His offense is complex. That's why it gets defenses confused, and you have to choose what you're going to do because everything looks different, but everything looks the same. And to get your players to understand that, and that's why he's yelling at Cole Kmet for lining up a yard out of position in an alignment. You know, that these are the things that are expected in this process. He said yesterday, we're not as far along as we need to be, but we are making progress. You know, so it's going to be a minute is my point. And that's why I go back to people who are like, oh, 7-10 seems very, you're not really giving them a lot of credit. Like, it's going to take more than what I think people realize to get this team up to full speed against the other teams in the NFC North.
Yes. And I still maintain that I understand why you're saying 7-10, and I understand why I want
10-7, right?
I want a Bears team to win 10 games when Brian Poles is in his fourth year and you drafted a quarterback 1-1. You know, I think that both of those things can be true when it comes to the expectations for your team, because both ways you are acknowledging that it needs to improve, and it's a matter of how, and it's a matter of how long it's going to take. That comes down to your talent. It really does. I think there are some times where I think the outcome is dictated solely by the other team facing you, and that's when your talent isn't good enough. But in these cases, this has to do with the level you really think is competing on your roster for spots. I thought even the fact that the three people we heard from on the offensive side of the ball yesterday were significant when you consider that those three the most, in DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and DeAndre Swift, stand to see the most change in their offensive roles with a new head coach.
Certainly in their offensive production with an offensive-minded head coach, they're thinking, okay, now we have a real coach who can guide us on offense and put me in a position to do better and get back to my career norms, if you will.
Well, not just that, but these are the guys who also spoke out in DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, and I appreciated them doing so because I feel like they were some of the first people to raise the alarm, and they should have.
And now it's on them.
And now, yes, that responsibility turns because, as I've said before, and this is something that Dave Wannstedt reminded me of when the Bears traded for, when they traded for Khalil Mack, actually. Because, you know, that was a regime change in Vegas that caused him to be available. And that was when John Gruden came in. And Wani said, one of the first things that we did as a coaching staff was see who's changing in the NFL head coaching wise, because that means that typically some talent that we really like is going to be available. And maybe it's a fit thing. Maybe it's a production thing. Maybe one person really liked that person over another. But either way, it's just one of those truths that isn't necessarily personal. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We are Rahimi and Harris talking Bears on the Score. And one of the other pieces to this is also that means that we might have to make some tough decisions when it comes to players that we like and we've grown accustomed to being a big part of this, not being as much. I feel like by circumstance, that was the case with Cole Kmet last year. By circumstance, it was the entire offense. Nobody produced as much as they wanted. But we have to understand that there's a reason we're seeing position redundancies right now in the drafting and the acquisition of talent.
looking around this roster, going back to the draft and seeing what they did with their first two picks, first two rounds, offensive threats, offensive playmakers in Colston Loveland, Luther Burden III, who, by the way, still out with that soft tissue injury. That's concerning because you're missing time. Time where you can show what you can do, time where you can, yes, learn from a, I guess, theoretical standpoint, but you're not getting any practicum in. If this is chemistry, you're not getting the lab. You're just reading the book right now if you're Luther Burden III. You already had that with Colston Loveland, and it was expected. But now your top two draft picks are getting no work physically.
Right.
I don't love that, Layla. I don't love it at all.
Especially when how many times have we heard general managers say on this team, well, so-and-so was injured coming in, you know? And for example, let's look at a guy who I think really saw a lot of significant time with a higher talent group in Karan Amagaji. You know, Karan Amagaji, as we know, saw time, I believe, both with the starters yesterday per reports, and then, significant time just, I think, in center stage, even though he plays left tackle on the line, he was seeing that big, significant time with significant talent. We talked about him in a way that was different and had a different expectation for him because, oh, well, he was hurt in the off season. You know, he was hurt in the beginning of the season. You know, there was a question about roster availability in August of last year because there was potentially a situation where you were going to have to use a roster spot for a guy who qualified for injured reserve. You know, and then how much did that set him back? Were you still asking yourself that question when he had to start at left tackle in Minnesota on Monday night last year? You know, and that's the thing is the reason we point to this stuff is because when you know somebody's dealing with an injury, of course you rest him right now. It'd be silly if you didn't, but you don't want what that injury can do in the regular season, which is set you back to extreme lengths.
Yeah, and right now Braxton Jones is missing time, so that leaves Karan Amagaji, and it's not his rookie year, but he didn't get a whole lot of action last year, as you mentioned, Layla, even leading up to the regular season because he was hurt. And now you have Ozzie Trapillo, a second rounder. He might be your starting left tackle when the season starts. Let's listen to what Ben Johnson had to say on how that left tackle position. Oh, it's all right. That's what we had already heard. I'm sorry. We heard from Ben Johnson on the actual left tackle and what that was. That was the first sound that we heard. And so I just look at it like this. Decisions will be made, right? But right now, everyone that's on the field has a major impact on what decision is made as far as the players themselves. And then you leave it to the coaches. But you can make an impression right now. And you mentioned the three guys that spoke yesterday, whether it's Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift. They're all looking for bounce back seasons. They're all looking at this offense like, hey, this guy will put us in the best position as a team to do big things on offense. How involved I'll be, I don't know, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to get a spot.
New dude, and your team wasn't good enough last year. So what does that mean for the guys who were considered the ones? And that's what we're asking. I know a lot of people are chiming in, too. We've got the text line 312-644-6767. We also have the meatball machine. So the best of those usually get played later in the week. You can go to the Odyssey app and leave a voice message there. I don't necessarily know, 217, if it's everyone moving the Bears goalposts. I don't think that at all. I'm not making excuses for anybody. It's just a matter of how much they're talking about themselves. So let's keep doing that. The three guys who we know were main focal points of the offense last year, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, and also DeAndre Swift, we're going to examine what they had to say. We're starting with DJ Moore. That's next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The moment the players got back in the building, call it 3 weeks ago now, it was going to be a competitive environment. There is no depth chart right now. If you want to play, you got to go earn it. If you want a role, you got to go earn it. They know that. So we were very straightforward and honest with them when they came into the building. I think all we did this weekend was we might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials for certain people in the building. So that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That's where you bring out the best, not only in your team, but in each individual.
You wake up and you don't want to go. What is it? You wake up trying to go to school and you don't want to go? I just don't want to go.
You wake up late for school, man. You don't want to go.
Late for school. That hypocrite smokes 2 packs a day.
It's not just school, by the way. There's a lot of things I wake up for and I just don't want to go that day.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt about that song. It triggered the don't want to go. Guys, yeah. I stepped in a proper flood hazard on the way to work this morning.
It happens. Next time, pack a canoe and a paddle.
Next time, I'm going to tell my alderman about the patio that's been created in the street causing a flood hazard.
You stepped in a puddle and you got to work.
I mean, I seriously was drying out my socks. This is The Score, Remy and Harris. And we continue to talk about what was said at mandatory minicamp yesterday regarding the Bears. We'll talk about the Cubs at 10:45 in our next segment. But Ben Johnson, not just discussing the depth chart and maybe not like faking it out, like say putting Jalen Johnson with the threes for reasons we don't understand or the twos. Now, what was that?
That was Matty Berflus huffing and puffing and letting you know what's good.
What's that?
How'd that turn out?
It turned out very poorly for Matty Berflus, although he did get paid and he's getting paid now as a...
He got a job immediately. I don't know that anybody's questioning the coordinator part of this.
No, he can...
Coordinator Matty Berflus seems to be doing A-OK.
He has to coordinate.
But still. Did your actions match your words? Did your results match your intended results? I don't think so. So I say that thinking about those statements and what that really means when you say you don't have a depth chart. But there is one thing that Ben Johnson talked about result-wise that I think could lead to what you see on the depth chart. He talked a lot about the body language of his team, not just Caleb Williams, but also other players. And some, I think, candid statements from DJ Moore when it came to Patrick Finley asking him about body language and what that meant and how that resulted. So let's hear DJ talk about this first.
We asked Chris Johnson last week about what he has said to you about body language.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe the discussions you guys had about it?
just don't do it. Just keep it inside. We'll talk about it later. And just don't put it on film. Don't put it on TV. So you guys can't run with it. So that's how it is.
How does that show up during the spring, though, when there aren't games, there aren't cameras and all of that? Like, how is body language being emphasized in the practice field?
Be honest right now, and then we ain't going to talk about it. I did it once, and then it nipped it in the butt, and it's never happened again.
How was it nipped in the butt?
How was it?
Yeah.
I just said I ain't going to do it again.
Okay, first of all, I said nip it in the bud regarding Caleb Williams speaking to the media. DJ Morris said nip it in the bud. Somebody else said nip it in the bud recently. Listen, the afternoon show had a good time with it. I smell a montage.
I dropped the nip it in the bud from the Andy Griffith Show with Barney Fife when they were deputizing locals for a big event in town. Just so Robbie Triano could become familiar with nip it in the bud. I don't think he watched it, but that's okay. He will at some point. I'll force him to watch it. But yeah, sometimes you got to nip it in the bud. Get it over, like, finish it.
That is moving on.
Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud was like the 1950s, 1960s version of Mortal Kombat finish him.
I mean, but we've all talked about it as a thing. So there's definitely some sort of combination there that I think.
Did anyone as a child, when you were a child, ever tell you to nip it in the bud?
I watched the Andy Griffith Show.
For action, and now, nip it in the bud.
But given that I yelled about it a couple weeks ago and we've talked about it, then you had to reference it, then it got said on the afternoon show. There's a montage here, people. A proper audio montage. See, I absolutely
are you trying
to
make Robbie
that.
Do work right now? Is that what's going on?
I suggested on our group thread yesterday. I thought it would be a good idea.
He's fine.
Tanny's got more work this week.
So wait, Robbie, you did watch the clip that I sent?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so now you know the reference. Okay, good.
But regardless, DJ Moore talking about this, and we figured out that it was him talking about something that had happened in this off-season program. It was not during the season is what he's referring to. I appreciate that he was candid about it and that he admitted it.
But I smell a butt.
That just seems like a lot if it's only a one-time effect.
No. I think it was a one-time effect since Ben Johnson got hired as the head coach. I think it was a multiple-time thing last year, and I would say understandably, but really, no, that's not a good look. You're kind of showing up your teammates when you do that.
Well, I think it's interesting how already we're talking about it with multiple players on the team.
The body language in general.
Right.
I think they're doing a job of, you know, pardon me, but nipping it in the bud now before we get to real games and practices in training camp. If the message gets hammered home early enough with any head coach, any new manager that you work for, you get hired at a place, right? You go and you're just trying to figure out what's the standard operating procedure. What is the decorum? What can I do and what can I not do? Those are the things you learn in the orientation slash first couple of weeks at work, right? I think Ben Johnson has been very clear about what he expects from his players, his coaches, everybody, even within the building. If you go back to the leaked video that we weren't supposed to see, but we saw when he made his first speech about everybody's job here is to support these players as we strive to win on the field.
Except for whoever leaked the video.
I think they got fired.
I don't know.
Pretty sure they were relieved of their
duties.
I don't
know what happened there, but there's the team, and then there's somebody not pulling with the team, and perhaps that's what that action was. The Bears ended up releasing that video just as part of their, you know, YouTube channel that they have.
Oh, but they used that video later?
No, not that one.
Oh, okay.
But the moment, they shot it better.
They had a professional job. Got it.
But we say all of that to say there are certain things that are clearly important with Ben Johnson, and he is already communicating with his team. This wasn't just lip service. This wasn't just the coach saying, oh, I don't like the body language. You hear people say that all the time. And I think sometimes it's an easy take to have. You know, when you don't want to drill down in the actual topic, you're like, oh, the body language, you don't want to see slumped heads and all that. But when it actually matters to the head coach and he's giving you examples, and then your players speak about it in this way, there is a change when it comes to making sure your details turn out a certain way in a game scenario. So DJ Moore also talked about the practice piece of this and the attention to detail when it comes to his impressions of Ben Johnson.
DJ, how would you describe playing for Ben with the little time that you've had with him through the spring?
It's fun. but intense. A lot of hard work goes into it, and you got to be on your P's and Q's, and you got to know the playbook.
How do you take his intense coaching without, like, entrusting it's taking you where you want to go and not just like, this is getting on my nerve?
I don't think it get on your nerves. It's just more like, dang, you got to look at deep down in yourself and be like, did I really mess up? Did I execute the play at the highest level that I can? Was I slacking, or was it perfect? So that's what he wants, perfection, but we know we all can't be perfect every play, so just being as close as we can is the best thing.
He's known as an offensive innovator. Like, how challenging is this offense to learn compared to maybe others that you've had to learn over the years?
I mean, it's not hard unless you're not studying. If you're studying and being on your stuff and knowing different spots, you'd be okay.
Sounds like things are changing.
Yeah, but it also sounds like he believes in his coach. He's ready to do whatever needs to be done. He's again, we've said it before, but we'll say it again. He's never been on a winning team. So now he's like, this guy, offensively at least, seems to know what he's doing based on his resume and based on the fact that I've seen what he can do in my couple of years with the Bears.
Right.
And so now DJ Moore's like, I want a piece of that. Give me that. The only problem is he doesn't know quite how he fits in yet, which is a good thing. You know why it's a good thing? Because he's entitled to nothing. It's like a clean slate in a way, not just the way we describe it. We're like, oh, clean slate. Like, you get a fresh start. No. But you were kind of the guy that people depended on to be like, you're one. 1A. You're 1A. If there's a 1B, fine. But you're 1A. He doesn't even know what his role is because they just drafted a guy in the second round. They've got Roma Dunze, who is a first round pick. Mm-hmm. You've got Colston Loveland, who could be a legit number one target.
Right.
So he's got to fall in line, follow the procedure, and see exactly what his role is. And he doesn't know yet.
Well, and that's why when Ben Johnson said in our last segment that he coaches Joe Tooney the same way he coaches his rookies, I didn't take any offense. I thought that that was the same concept. Like, if you're really going to say this, that every job is up for grabs and you're really going to communicate that, then even the all pros who win Super Bowls should have similar treatment to the guys who are new to the team. Have certain people earned the benefit of the doubt with me?
Absolutely.
Yes. Do I give certain people more leeway and I listen to what they say in a different manner because they have taught us to do so with their behavior and their actions? Absolutely. DJ Moore is one of those people where I think, because of how he's produced on all these other teams, Carolina clearly, he's produced in these different scenarios with the Bears. He earns more with me because of it. That's what happens. But I'm not the head coach of the team. I'm the one listening to people over a large amount of time. Ben Johnson did talk about how he sees DJ Moore playing in the slot. It's something that I thought about because I've seen DJ Moore play in the slot on the Bears and produce. So let's listen.
We're not necessarily putting guys and plugging them into certain spots and saying stick and stay. We're moving guys around. We're getting a great feel this springtime of what guys can and they can't do. And then once we get into training camp and certainly further along in training camp, we'll start honing in and having them master certain routes and their route tree that way. So right now it's really a free-for-all. Coach L is kind of moving everybody around. Who can be our choice route runners? Who can do some of the option things? And we're taking it from there.
Choice route runners.
Listen, I love this because right now it's almost like an open audition to see how well can I use you? How versatile can you be in my idea of what my offense is going to look like? They haven't even been given like the specs on exactly who's doing what. They just understand these are the basic concepts. And now you got to find a way to fit in. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the other St. Brown, not the one that played for the Bears, not Equanimeous.
Amon-Ra?
Yes, Amon-Ra. And could DJ Moore be an Amon-Ra type character in this story, if you will? Which would be lovely for not only the Bears and their offense, but also for DJ Moore individually to get plenty of targets, touches, touchdown opportunities, run after the catch opportunities, the way he schemes up Amon-Ra St. Brown. And knowing that he doesn't have a position yet in terms of specific receiver is a good thing because that means he could be used in a variety of ways.
Yeah, again, I'll always say this. Talent and what your abilities are will dictate how you're used in an offense. Like, should be anyway. Shouldn't be that you try to force somebody to be someone they're not, you know, and that's something I believe in. I feel like that's something Ben Johnson does. But we already know who's playing the role of Sam Laporta, don't we? In Colston Loveland?
If he, when he steps on the field, I will give you that. I'm waiting for him to be on the field.
708 says, that's insane. DJ is the number one. He doesn't know how he's going to be used or from where, but he's the only proven receiver. I don't think it's that dramatic. I think it's more like, for example, Cole Kmet not only had terrible production last year because he wasn't targeted, it was just a function of the offense not succeeding. So I would think that DJ Moore, being a proven receiver, is going to have a role that folds into how the offense succeeds. Like, simply by running more plays, he might be used differently. But I understand why he doesn't necessarily know in this offense, despite being a proven receiver, if he's the right fit. Like, that's what we were talking about in the last segment. Some of these guys, we know they have talent, just like in other teams. You know that players have talent, but if that coach can't utilize their talent in the best way, what does that mean for them?
But the whole point is, Ben Johnson is the guy who can use anybody that has talent in the way that they need to be used. That's the idea of hiring Ben Johnson and paying him all the money. So that's why I'm looking forward to seeing what DJ Moore becomes this season. I think it will be a grander version of what we've seen in him in either of his years in a Bears uniform.
Well, I mean, if the offense is as functioning as we think it is, then yes. And to the person who's out on our text line too, like, well, okay, they threw for 3,500 yards. Yeah, they lost 10 games in a row. The offense wasn't as productive as we wanted it to be.
As it needed to be to win games. That's the bottom line. Are you winning games or not? Yesterday, hearing DeAndre Swift, one of the things he said was, yeah, we only won four games last. Like, he didn't remember that the 10-game losing streak ended.
Oh, no. I didn't realize that. Like, hey, remember that time you beat the Packers? Yeah. It wasn't even important.
That's
to
how
you.
Deep it was. He was stuck on four for so long, he thought they ended the season with four wins.
Well, then. Womp womp. Let's talk about a team that did end their most recent anything with a win, and that's the Cubs, because they keep rolling. The day off, go to Washington. Win a ball game and see more people who you want to see produce. We examine next on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Swing and a miss, strike three. Big strikeout for Cade Horton. Here's a high fly ball, deep right center field, off the bat of Bush. All the way back, it's got a chance. Gone. Long home run, Michael Bush. Cubs lead 8-3. Here's a bouncer back to the mound. Ball game over. Throw to first. Cubs win. 8-3 the final.
That is Pat Hughes. He was from our nation's capital as the Cubs beat the Nationals 8-3. This is Raheemy and Harris on The Score. And the Cubs just continue to do what they are supposed to do, and that is win ball games. I know that the Nationals had a bit of a resurgence. We talked about it a little bit, Marshall, on The Score, because the Nats going into that game were only a couple of games below 500 at 28-31, just three, but doesn't matter. Even though the Cubs were down 3-1, they still come back. They take it 8-3. They get those crooked number innings when they get two runs in the fourth, four runs in the fifth. And that's how you're able to cruise when the lineup is contributing and things are happy.
They're better than happy, Layla, because all the Cubs do is win, 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 no matter what. You hear me? No Shota Imanaga. He's on the injured list. And no Kyle Tucker for that series opener. You might not have him at all in this series. And they're still scoring runs. They're still getting the job done. And now we talked about that big 21-game stretch versus all teams with losing records. And I said, they need to get 15 wins. They need to be at least 15-6. We're two games shy of finishing the 21-game stretch. They've already got the 15 wins. They're 15-4 in that stretch.
I need some sort of like franchise name from you when it comes to your schedule measurements, because you definitely have them.
Well, I just...
the Marshall schedule scale of acceptance, or just not... That's a word salad. We got to come up with something better, but something that is relevant to how you measure these stretches. Because you do it, and it works.
Well, it's about being on time. And they were on time during this 21-game stretch because they've won 15. Think about this. They could go 17-4. I'm not saying they will. But they could go 17-4. If they win their seventh straight series, they'll go at least 16-5. That's adding 11 games over 500 to your record from over a 21-game stretch. That's impressive. What was also impressive about last night in particular, Pete Crow Armstrong continues to just wreak havoc. This man is on pace to hit 41 home runs and steal 57 bases. He caught Luis Robert Jr., who has a couple of days off, via the White Sox, in the stolen base lead for the major leagues. He now has 21 stolen bases to lead all major leaguers alongside Luis Robert Jr. But the havoc that he caused on the base pass, not just on the stolen bases, but just his mere presence was wild. I don't know if you guys saw what happened last night when he was on third base and a grounder gets hit by one Carson Kelly, and Pete Crow Armstrong was distracting enough that he caused the fielder not to be able to make a play at first on a catcher running down the line. That's crazy.
Well, it also just proves that he's a threat when he's on base in any way, shape, and form. And that is part of what is making this team go. It's not just getting to first and then going from there. It's the fact that when you are on base, you're going to make things happen in such a way where you're getting in people's heads. The thing that I really like too about the Cubs, at least coming back from being briefly down, is that you saw their lineup really take advantage of Trevor Williams when it came to the second time through the order. You know, I think Matt Shaw is a really good example of that. Williams has a couple of really nice off-speed pitches, you know, stuff in the 70s that's got break, whether it's a sweeper or whether it's, I don't know what you want to call it. I feel like it's like even more of a, it's like a sweeper curve. You know the pitch that
just
I was
talking
about.
Just like the standard curve versus the sweeper, right?
But it's hard to describe. It's got a late, like more like a diagonal break, which is why I can't quite categorize it. Like MLB.com had it as a sweeper. But the point is, when people saw it, they were able to do something with it. You know, Shaw got fooled on it early. But then, like, for example, Dansby's looking at it. He gets a productive out in the sacrifice fly. you know, so you're able to have some productive looks at a pitcher that way. You're able to get to the guy and punish him for seeing you not even a third time, but the second time. So I really appreciate the Cubs at bat when it comes to that concept, you know?
I love their fifth inning. Just another random inning where they decide they're going to put up four runs. They lead the entire major leagues in putting up four runs in an inning. That's happened, I think, 30 times or over 30 times now. And Matt Shaw, they batted around because he led off the inning with a double. And then, unfortunately, he comes back up at the end of the inning with the bases loaded, unable to get it done. But he hits another sharply hit ball just right to the right fielder. So they just look like a team right now that if you're not on a certain level, and that level being the teams they had to face at the beginning of the season, they're probably going to get you. They're probably going to get you. And 8-3, they were down in this game 3-1. I was like, okay, this is interesting. Cade Horton looks like he could be sharper. But
yeah, Nats were getting productive outs. Like, they were getting people on base and they were using outs to score runs.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, Cade Horton's 3-0. Cade Horton, a 4.21 ERA, nothing to write home about, but it's not the fact that he went the 5 1/3 and gave up the 3. It's about what followed after that. Because that bullpen continues to do what it's supposed to do.
It's also, again, when we talk about two-out hitting, how productive that has been for this team. That fifth inning, Nico Hoerter, two-run, two-out single against Cole Henry. That ball was outside by a mile. Like, I have no idea how he was able to hit that pitch and do so for any sort of power. And he made it work in a way that was just very indicative of what they're doing right now at the plate. Like, when they see something, whether it's not just a fastball in these cases, when they see something like Dansby Swanson's going down to get it, sacrifice fly, Pete Crow Armstrong going down to get it, sometimes it's a home run. Nico Hoerter, outside, doesn't matter. I'm going to take this with two outs because I think I've got a pitch here that I can hit. If this is a slightly worse team, we're not talking about these batters in the same way at all. We would be talking about the poor pitch selection, but the confidence in the lineup and just being able to take these risks and having them pay off in this way is outstanding. And speaking of the runners with scoring position numbers, the Cubs have 3. Nico Hoerter's got 26 hits with runners in scoring position. Seiya Suzuki's got 24, and so does Pete Crow Armstrong. That is the 3 top in baseball with hits with runners in scoring position. That's how you get it done.
When you look at the runners in scoring position stat for the Cubs, so the Dodgers are out of this world with runners in scoring position. Their OPS, team OPS, not just an individual, but team OPS with runners in scoring position, over 900. In second place is the Cubs. Their team OPS, over 800, more than 100 points over the third place team in Major League Baseball when you talk about team OPS. But to your point about runners in scoring position, Nico Hoerter, third in all of baseball with a .433 batting average with runners in scoring position. And it's not just him. You look up and down the lineup, other guys, Michael Busch, he's batting .357. That's 19th. Pete Crow Armstrong, Seiya Suzuki, they're tied 21st in Major League Baseball with .353 averages with runners in scoring position. They have a lineup of professional hitters. It's the thing that when I talk about, hey, the Sox might be getting some help with like a Mike Togman or Andrew Bennington. The Cubs have 1-9 guys who can make something happen.
Yeah, I'm very encouraged when I see two out hitting like that. That's so productive. Another note that I thought was also productive in this game, we talked about it yesterday a bit from Sunday, is the use of Ryan Pressly. Pressly gives up a single and then he forces 3 straight ground ball outs. Ball game.
Are you back in?
I don't know that I was ever fully out. I just knew if he's going to work on some stuff and they find the right opportunity for him to do so, that was going to happen. And it did. Credit again to Caleb Thielbar, by the way.
1 2/3 innings, comes in, gets out of a jam. He's in good shape. And with Genesis Cabrera pitching well, you've got guys even in the not as high leverage situations putting zeros on the board. And that's all you really want to see from your bullpen at this point.
Well, yeah, that's all you physically can see for them to be good. You know, that's the biggest indication.
The lack of strikeouts, the swing and miss stuff to blow them away. That
3 ground ball outs from Pressly. Fine. Great. I don't need you to be Aroldis Chapman up there if that's what you're doing today. Cool. 8-3, ball game. Now they've got a chance to win their 7th straight series today We have a lot more coming up here on Raheemi and Harris on The Score. We go back to the NFL because it is time for Mike Florio's weekly visit. He's a Pro Football Talk. You know him well. A lot of NFL news always, so we'll get to that with him next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.